One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when Gary from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, agreed to help a friend with her haunted home, he didn't expect to uncover a spirit tied to a real-life murder-suicide.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes and the ghost stories, the many, many, many that we put out for you every single day here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And the Grave Talks. Be sure to check that out, too. Carol's got great interviews on there all the time, and some of the old classic ones that I did are also out there for you to enjoy as well. All right, a house. If you were to get a house and you found out there was a murder-suicide there, would you go through with buying the house? If you really loved the house and it was like everything you thought a house should be, except for that.
Well, no, Harper.
It would have to be sold to me for cheaper just because of that factor.
So you do it for cheaper.
So you do it because it was a good deal.
It'd be a bargaining chip, but you'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know that I would be okay with it.
Yeah.
I would just get it cleansed.
Yeah. I don't know. Like maybe if I went in there and I'm like, oh my God, this house has such great energy to it or something.
Yeah, like I maybe have to love the house.
Yeah. He's like, I love this house and I felt like it had great energy. Do you feel like my house has good energy?
I love your house.
Yeah, thank you. So maybe if you picked up on something weird, I just don't know if I knew that going into it that, you know, cause I always feel like things that are that negative kind of leave an imprint behind.
Yeah.
Whether they really do or not, it's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I could. What about you?
Like a murder-suicide is quite a dramatic one. You know, it's not like just dying. I'm fine with like old person dying or even just whatever age person dying. If it's just like natural, they kick it for whatever reason. But when it gets to that type of territory, that's a lot of, I don't know. That's, I don't know. I think I'd be thinking about like, well, where did it happen? And I'd inevitably find out where it happened. And I'd be thinking, God, the last second that this person was alive, they were like maybe looking at this wall, you know, or whatever it may be. And
and the fact that one of them was murdered.
Yeah.
And left this world with that, like chances are it was a husband and wife.
Yeah.
I'm saying it was two Fair. People who loved each other at one point.
And still use it as a bargaining chip.
Like, yeah, but there was a murder in here. Could I?
Harper just wants the deal.
$45,000 for this 3,000 square foot home.
Yeah.
You could go in there and be like, look, I have a big social media following and I'd like to get this house for $45,000. If not, I'm going to tweet the story of this house to everyone.
But yeah, so sell it.
Now,
the word gets out.
That might be extortion and also might be slightly illegal.
You guys took it to extortion. I was just like, I just want a bargaining chip.
Yeah,
you're going to like, extort them. It's yeah, like, what?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to like, if you can use it as a bargaining chip without threatening to like expose the house. So, yes, if you're just like, you know, it's got this going on. It's probably going to be kind of hard to sell this. Maybe you should just take my offer. That might be a good way to take it. Yeah. I'm the one who took it to like, and I'm going to expose you to the world. So
I think if I was out looking at houses with my realtor and she said, and by the way, there was a murder suicide in the next house we're going to look at, I'd be like, let's just skip.
Take me there is what my thing would be like. I can't wait. What room did it happen in? Is there any like remnants of it? Like if I took this drywall down, would there be like a hole in like the, are we going to find a bullet hole behind the, in the subfloor or something like that?
You would.
Can be fixed.
Like, let me go check in the basement by the rafters. Let me see if I can still see any signs of the murder.
Your dad would do that.
Look, if it was like a really beautiful house and like, I really loved it. And like, despite what happened there, it had like good energy. I would still buy it. I would just use it as a bargaining chip.
Yeah. Kathy, my sister lived in a house. They kind of had this little subdivision north of town. So there was a lot of open space. So they had really big lots. Her house looked to the house behind it. And this was before the trees had really grown or anything. And the guy killed his wife.
Oh God.
And so it sat empty for a long time because there was a court case and Kathy had to testify and all this stuff. And so I think it was a good 2 or 3 years later before anybody moved in. And the woman said she loved the house.
Yeah.
Knew what had happened in the house.
High hopes.
But it was a really nice house, you know, and it was like, even though she knew, she still went ahead and bought it and loved the house.
Yeah. You know, I don't blame that. I assigned personalities to things that don't have personalities, like inanimate objects, you know, or homes.
Kind of do that, yeah.
And yeah. It's like, well, it's not the house's fault this happened. I mean, the house may just wanted to be a nice, warm, loving house, and these assholes came in here and did this.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
So, I don't know. Honest to God, though, it bothered me when I would go visit, because we'd be sitting there having dinner, and there's the murder house.
Yeah.
And you could see it all the time. And so eventually the trees grew up enough in between that it wasn't just right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the house across the street from me growing up, I don't know if Harper remembers it or not. It's gone now, but it used to be that big white house that was there that looked real crappy and shitty.
Oh, yeah.
Across the creek. And there had been, I think, 3 suicides in that house.
Oh, my God.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, how would you, like, if 3 suicides, that makes me think it is the house.
From the same, now, if you knew the family, it's the family. Trust me, it was the family. Okay. I mean, it was a weird.
Oh, it was all the same family members.
Yeah, it was like some of the kids and like, but the family was kind of like the definition of dysfunction. And the dad of, or grandpa or whatever he was, he wore basically fatigues. He looked like Kim Jong Il, walking, it was just what his dress was. He would just wear these like fatigues all the time, and I remember he was a nightmare to my parents because he would kind of like dictated the creek. Like if you ever like had a flood and you needed to move rocks out of there so it wouldn't like flood your yard and you could get the creek moving, he'd call the DNR all the time, and he was nuts. He was just always trying to control things and was just a real nut job. The way he got rid of weeds on his bank. I remember playing in the front yard once, and I'm way on the other side of the yard, and all of a sudden I hear this big whoo. Like, what the heck? It sounded like something blew up. And I see smoke coming up over on that side of the yard. I'm like, what the hell's happening? He poured gasoline all over the whole side of the riverbank and lit it up.
That's a dumb idea.
And nothing's going to go wrong there.
And it was just like, oh my, it was like, we had camera phones back then because he's standing behind it and there's this whole bank lit up on fire and he's standing behind it in front of his creepy old house. And it was like something out of a horror movie. But
I could imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, something that could be so easily taken care of, which is like in the weed whacker.
Yeah.
Or even like a lawnmower. And we resorted to the most archaic way to get rid of things.
They were unconventional folks. And here's the thing. it's a nice way of putting it. And here's the thing. When I was little, these people, there was a orchard that used to, it's still there. And they would get their apples pressed there until they actually started doing their own apple pressing. So everybody's like, oh, you got to get some of that apple cider from this place. It's so delicious. And we knew who was doing it. And I knew the shed that he was doing it in. And it's like, there's nothing remotely sanitary about this place. So all the kids are like, have the cider. Drink the cider. It's delicious. Why didn't you have any of the cider, Tony? I'm like, I'm good. No, have some cider. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm really. So people thought I was like really adverse to apple cider just because I know who made it. Yeah.
Well, like I truly wonder how that conversation went about the fire, where it's just like, oh, I'm going to go take care of these weeds. Like, oh, I've got a weed. No, I'm going to use fire.
There was no conversation, I'm sure. It was just him going out to his shed and getting the gas can and a match.
I know, but like, surely if there were a conversation about this, like, just like small talk, it's like, yeah, I just recently got rid of some weeds. Like, oh, weed whacker. Like, what brand do you use for your, like, your weed whacker? It's like, fire.
Just fire.
Just my gas. God,
fire.
Gas. And it all
takes
like
less time.
All the gas like rolls into the creek and the river. I'm glad that place is gone now. It was an eyesore forever.
Wow, and to have three people do that in the home.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I went to call it
they probably were.
I don't know that, or they were, I don't know. I mean, that's quite a family to be dealing with. So I would imagine it wasn't the healthiest of environments.
You think?
By any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. Then they'd have get-togethers and they'd all be screaming each other in the backyard. It was great. It was,
You know what? I would roll up with some popcorn and be like, what's going on today?
It was like watching Cops without Cops.
It's like, oh, Bethany's having an affair with her cousin. Nice.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was a lot like that. You missed out, honey. Like, I'm sorry.
Watching reality TV without the TV. You're just watching reality.
Yeah. Like I said, it was like watching Cops without Cops. it felt like. Yeah. Let's go to the caller, 855-853-4802. Let's hear your ghost story. Hi.
So my name is Erie, and I am from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I like to tell when I tell people the story, I like to say it's my dream with a murderer. So I am obsessed with ghosts. I used to think that I never had had a paranormal experience before, but as I've been listening to your show, I gradually realized that I have had paranormal experiences. I just never considered them experiences because I didn't see an apparition or a shadow figure that had been touched by an entity until recently. So I am a psychic and a medium. I've been clairvoyant and clairaudient my whole life, which means that I experienced psychic events visually and audibly, but the mediumship didn't develop until I was 30. Basically, I just started meditating more and more, and then eventually, one night, all my loved ones who had been deceased came through, and the resounding message was, we're so glad you can finally hear us. So, my story starts with a friend of mine mentioning that her house was haunted. She said that she would hear people in the kitchen when no one was in the kitchen. She would go into rooms and see things moving slightly on their own, and once her and her roommate saw an orb. Like, they saw an orb come through their house and out into the backyard. So I just started to offer my gifts to others, and since I love ghosts, I was very excited to go to her house on a ghost hunt. The information I knew about her house was that it was located in the central part of Sioux Falls and then moved to the outside part of Sioux Falls. And I also knew that her dad had passed away in her home a few years ago. The activity had been happening prior to his passing, but seemed to be getting more active after his passing. My gut instinct is that her dad stuck around and there was another entity in the home as well. We agreed on a date and a time for me to come over and do the reading on the house and to do some audio recording as well. I'm very good at doing distance sessions versus doing a session in person. And I can explain at another time kind of like the ins and outs of that, but Since I was to go to her house on a Wednesday night, I decided to do a distance session on Sunday night prior to, just to prepare myself for what was really residing in the house. So Sunday night, I'm in the shower, which is where I get some of my best thinking done. I conducted my distance session. The first thing that happened to me was I immediately got a rush of cold air at my chest, while a voice said to me in a deep whisper, "I'm not leaving." And it's important to note that the cold air wasn't because someone opened the door, walked by the shower. The shower we have has doors on it and not a curtain. So the voice tells me they're not leaving. I'm like, whoa, no one said anything about leaving. I'm just here to check you out and see who you are. So the voice, immediately I got the impression that this is a male spirit in his 50s or 60s and just an overall like a grumpy old man type spirit. I said that I was coming over on a Wednesday and I needed to know who they were and how I could help. They kept repeating over and over and over that they were not leaving. I wasn't going to kick them out and that there was nothing I could do about it. So I politely told them that I wasn't here to kick them out and I promised them. I said, then they, once they kind of like, he kind of relaxed a little bit and then he gave me a download of information about himself. And when I get a download, I think other people have mentioned this before, but it's basically like all the information comes at you super fast and all at once. Basically, he was a father and a husband. He screwed up a lot in his life. He was embarrassed by all of the things that he did. And because of that, he did not deserve to move on. He said he was staying here because this was his lot in life. He was too embarrassed to face his kids, most specifically his daughter, and there was nothing that I could do to convince him to move on. So I was like, at this point, I'm like, okay, I got it. He feels sorry for himself that he screwed up. I said, come on now. There's nothing that anyone has done that is so bad that it couldn't be forgiven. He assured me that what he did was so fucked up that he deserved to stay here. So he kept repeating the feelings of being ashamed and his daughter not being able to face her. He mentioned nothing about his wife, though, but I knew he was married at one point. My friend's parents were divorced, so I assumed that this was her father, which was a big mistake because you should never assume anything. So I told him I'd be over on Wednesday and I kind of sent him a visualization of what my recording device looks like and just to speak into the recorder. He was still kind of grumpy about it, about me coming over and continually just like begged me, please don't come over, please, 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 and that he just absolutely wasn't leaving. So, but I ended my session with him with just more questions than answers. So, the night before, I have to go to my friend's house. I end up having the absolute craziest dream. I am standing on a dirt road in front of my church, and I'm barefoot. In front of me is a demon-like entity, and I need to exorcise it. I cannot look at this entity, though. My body won't allow me to actually like lift my head up and look at this demon head-on. But I'm super terrified, and I needed to work fast. I rush into the church's chapel, where back behind all of the pews, they have a basket of rosaries for the public to take for free. FYI, Catholic Church. I don't know if that matters. Anyways, the beads are all different colors, and I knew I needed a specific color of beads for the exorcism to be successful. White or black? I couldn't remember. And FYI, this most likely isn't a thing, but in my dream, this was significant. I grabbed each color and rushed back out into the front of the church and onto the dirt road again. I stood my ground and realized I couldn't remember the exorcism prayer. So I just did the only thing that I knew that could come to my mind. And I just started screaming, the power of Christ compels you, over and over and over again, until this demon finally dissipated. And then I woke up and I was just absolutely terrified. And I knew in that moment someone or something was trying to keep me away from her house. And I should also mention that when I woke up, I just still felt kind of an entity kind of leering over me, just kind of like seething and just breathing heavy. I didn't feel any breath, but like I just had that sense that something was still kind of there. And then eventually that just kind of dissipated. So the next day, I get to my friend's house and I do my session. I asked about her dad. She basically told me that her dad was a sweet guy and totally at peace with his passing, not at all a grumpy dude. So now I'm confused. So I'm like, I explained to her the dream. And her roommate goes, what if it's Steve? And I'm like, whoa, who's Steve? And she goes, that's Steve, and points to an urn. And I'm like, whoa, now I'm intrigued. So here's the story. Back in December of 2008, Steve went to visit his wife at work. She wanted him to meet her in her car, which is where she served him with divorce papers. Steve was a pretty angry guy and knew this was coming. So instead of accepting the divorce papers, he ends up shooting her and killing his wife, then committing suicide himself. They had two kids, a boy and a girl. My friends ended up, and now you're like, well, how did your friends end up with the ashes, which is kind of weird. But my friends ended up with his ashes because the sister of one of their parents didn't want his ashes around because she didn't want to have to explain to the kids who the urn was and who was in there. Sorry, the aunt of the kids. So like one of the victim's sisters. I hope that makes sense. Sorry. So instead of having it in her house because it creeped her out and she didn't want it there to explain to the kids, she gave it to my friends. So I stayed at their house, said a prayer. I didn't ask for Steve's spirit to move on since he didn't want that yet, but I asked for all the bad energy to be cleared out and bless the home. And I didn't hear back from my friends as far as if his spirit had moved on or not, but funny thing is that my friend was doing a spot on a radio show like 6 months later, and she actually mentioned me doing the clearing on our house and that she hadn't had any issues ever since. So I haven't had any weird dreams after that either. And then also, if you wanted to look up the crime that was committed, because it's on, you can look it up online. Just look up HSBC, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, murder, suicide, and that kind of gives you an idea of like who it was and what the situation was. That was my dream with the murderer, my first ghost hunt, and my first house cleansing. And thanks for providing a medium for people with paranormal experiences to speak on. And thanks for listening to my story. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that. Thoughts?
I think it's rather terrifying, actually, to encounter a spirit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I get why she went to the dad. But then to find out the dad's a nice guy. And they're like, well, what about Steve? Who's Steve? That guy right there in the urn.
Yeah. Like,
Steve murdered his wife and then committed suicide. It's like, oh.
Why do we have Steve's urn then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of wonder that too.
I get why somebody wouldn't want the urn, but I'd be like, I don't want it. Then maybe that's when you need to buy a plot somewhere and bury it, or I don't know.
Spread the ashes.
Take
or just
ashes,
say, you know what?
Burn it.
You guys can do whatever you want with those ashes. I don't need them when you're done.
You know what? Steve did not sound like a good guy. He does not deserve to have his ashes spread somewhere nice.
But doesn't it make sense, though, that that would have been Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it could be.
You know, because like, got this bad energy, and there's Steve right there.
Or Satan.
Oh,
I'm here. Everybody discounts me.
I don't think Harper's familiar with Satan, but Satan stops by every now and again.
He shows up every now. We can't control it. Hey, everybody, I'm Satan. I'm glad to be here. Hi, Harper. I'm glad you're enjoying your time over there. Carol's a great lady. I tend to stick with the murder she shed. I like to hang out there a lot. And as you can see, I've already ripped one person who was on crutches and sucked them down here to the immortal flames of hell. And their crutches are left up there in case they need to come back for anything.
I'll keep him.
Yeah, I just like to keep him there. But yeah, I mean, come on, give me. I mean, it could be Satan or it could be Steve. I'll tell you what.
I'm going with Steve on this one.
As Satan, I mean, are you just trying to get credit here? Oh, I mean, you gotta give credit where credit. Who made him that way? Was it little baby Jesus or was it Satan? Ah, that's true. I mean, I understand where you. Yeah, give credit where credit's due. I may not have been the one showing up doing the whole murder thing, but come on, you know where you get taught this sort of shit, and it's not in Sunday school.
That's Satan.
That's Satan. All right, guys.
Satan.
You guys have a good one. Glad we could reconnect, and death to everybody. I'm Satan. Have a great day. I'm just kidding. I don't want anybody to die. We're overbooked down here. So honestly, no vacancy for a while. So try and go up there. They got more space. There we go. All right. Satan.
You know, the thing about Satan that you don't expect, he's got that smile in his voice.
He does. He seems kind of affable. He's not kind of this fire and brimstone type of thing that I, okay. Oh, don't get it. There's fire and brimstone. Trust me. But I've been watching a lot of HGTV lately, and I've been finding some really great ways to put the fire and brimstone to work in a real kind of chic way on the walls. It's really, it's like shiplap, but it's like brimlap. And
I know, right?
It looks really good. The demons down here are like, God, Satan, what did you do to this room? And I'm like, well, part of it is the skin of children that I have, just basically scalped off of them as they were sent here because they weren't baptized. So I said, hey, lampshades. And for the rest of it, that's just a lot of fire and brimstone. But, you know.
Oh, who knew?
Who knew? I've been watching a lot of HGTV lately.
I know.
And I've been trying to find a house on House Hunters. How about you, Satan?
I like the beach ones because I could use a little more beach days. But I'm just enjoying, just my normal stuff around here. The fire and brimstone looking good. And those lamps, I tell you what, those lamps made out of the children. Those are the good ones.
Oh,
Jesus.
Lamps made out of children.
Yeah, you know, because if you don't baptize the baby and it dies, it's going straight to me.
Wow. Well, there you go. We heard it from Satan himself.
Okay. Yeah.
That must make it factual. Okay. Well, on that note, if you like the show and you want access to our bonus episodes, be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and everything else that we have for you right there, including more conversations with Satan. It's all out there for you. Until next time, for Carol and Harper, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to COSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to COSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at COSI.org.